Lakers lose to the Mavs, 108-93, the final score, 35-25 on the season. Mavs now 33-26. Got to be honest, Laker fans, did not expect to be doing two post-game shows in a row where the Lakers lose to the Dallas Mavericks, specifically this one. I know we talked about it after Thursday's game. You felt like, all right, let's get AD one game under his belt. Lakers obviously know how important a game like this is. We're all looking at the standings. We're all paying attention. For those who don't think that play-in tournament is a big deal, I understand. I get it. You just want LeBron and Anthony Davis healthy. But because you lose this game and you lost that last one to Dallas, before that you lost that game against the Utah Jazz, things are getting tight here. Things are definitely getting tight in the Western Conference standings. I'm sure there's a lot of Laker fans that want to react after this game. So let me set this up real quick. 877-710-ESPN. If you want to call into the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show and give your thoughts on the game, we'll get a chance to hear from Coach. We'll get a chance to hear from the players and certainly get their thoughts on this loss tonight to Dallas. By the way, quick reminder as well. Quick shout out here and a thanks to Coors Seltzer. You can now stream this show on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook Live. We're actually streaming the show live right now. Coors Seltzer, Rocky Mountain Refreshment now in a hard seltzer. And check this out. Every 12-pack purchased refreshes our rivers with 500 gallons of water. Now that's refreshing. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, brewed in Fort Worth, Texas. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. So we appreciate everybody on the stream here. Okay, let's get things started here. When I say a surprise loss, I kind of tell you what I'm referring to here. The way I looked at tonight's game and the way I think the importance of tonight's game, you felt like the way the Lakers came out in that first half. Yeah, that's not surprising. You got a 12-point lead. Porzingis isn't even playing for the Dallas Mavericks. Okay, things are, yes, KCP doesn't go for the Lakers, but the Porzingis factor, that's a big-time factor right there. And for the Lakers, you're just kind of assuming, you have it in your mind that, okay, they're going to take advantage of a game like this. We know how close the standings are. We know not only is this game not even just for this win or this loss, but also Dallas now has the tiebreaker over the Lakers if both of these teams end up with the same record. Simple how that works. They only played each other three times. Dallas 2-1 so far in this series, and they're not going to play each other again in the regular season. So I expected the Lakers to come out the way they did in the first half. Came out looking great. Defense all over the place. Players flying all over. The rotations were great. The extra pass. What I did not expect was the Lakers to score 35 points in the second half. Give up 62 points in the second half. You went from up 12 to losing by 15. That's a big-time difference within that 24-minute span, obviously, and that's a frustrating loss, I'm sure, for a lot of Laker fans out there. Let me grab a quick call here. We'll get a chance to hear Lakers head coach Frank Vogel as well. Let's start off with Juan in Las Vegas. Juan, what's going on? Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Leo, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Appreciate you calling.
Hey, man, hey, I came down to Vegas on Friday, man, to have a good weekend, you know.
Did this ruin your weekend?
Yeah, man, you know, we ruined my weekend. So tonight I'm saying, you know what, AD, he's back, second game. I'm sitting at the Treasure Island, at the bar with my son. He's 21, watching the game. And first half is going awesome. We're up by, what, 17, I think, at one point?
They went up at 17 at one point, yep.
AD's in the post, kicking it out, you know, taking advantage, going to the line. In the second half, this is where I have a problem with Vogel, okay? Second half, you got AD shooting three-pointers. And By the way, Juan,
I appreciate you calling in. Let me comment real quick, and then I'm going to take another quick call here. You make an excellent point. And Michael Thompson, during the broadcast, kept saying, and it wasn't just Anthony Davis, but yes, AD took six threes. But why not post up AD just to get some better looks, just to get into some kind of a rhythm? AD went 5 of 19 from the field. All right, at some point, Anthony Davis is going to come back to being Anthony Davis. But the Lakers relying on the three, they took 45 threes. That's the part that I had an issue with. The issue I had with the Lakers tonight, first of all, on defense, they never made any adjustments. Whatever they did in the first half that worked, They made zero adjustments in the second half when Dallas started figuring that out. Lucas said, I'm getting the ball out of my hands. And Dallas started attacking, cutting, making that extra pass. It was usually a 4-on-3 break because you were trying to double Luka. Lakers made no adjustments to that. But on the offensive end for the Lakers, you know, I said this a little bit earlier. It felt like every missed three was so deflating. And I know, you know, there's the cliche of kind of shoot your way out of it. But a lot of times, too, I think just getting to the basket, getting a couple easy hoops. I think also for the Lakers, putting themselves in a position where they could get to the free throw line. Just anything to get you back into a rhythm. Lakers obviously could not find a way, only 35 points in the second half. Solomon in Lake Balboa. Solomon, what's going on? Appreciate you calling in.
Oh, thanks, Alan. Yeah, this was a really disgusting loss tonight. And, you know, by the way, they broke their pattern. Usually the Lakers, after they lose, they win. And I think a lot of people thought we were going to, you know, the Lakers were going to win tonight.
Yeah, I'm on that boat.
Here's my question. Yeah, and here's my question, and you pointed it out. Mm-hmm. You're up by 17 points. You don't need to get three happy. Just score, and you'll probably win the game. I don't know what happened. I guess, all right, Dallas started hitting their threes, but don't panic and don't try to match them because, I'm sorry, the Lakers are not a good, consistent three-point shooting team. That's not their strength. So this was just a disgusting win that I know they could have had, and this was a bad time to lose two games in a row.
Solomon, appreciate you calling in. Yeah, listen, I talked about this on last night. I did the Travis and Sliwa show, Thursday post-game show. I just kept saying, big game coming up on Saturday. And I felt like Lakers would live up to that challenge. You know, part of me when I say big game coming up, I just felt like, you know, this was a big game in the sense that, okay, let's put our foot back down. AD's back. Let's start. AD got his minutes extended up to 25. Let me see how many minutes he ended up playing. I'm sure it was right around there. Actually ended up playing 28 minutes tonight. So obviously he was feeling good from that front. But it didn't happen for the Lakers, and obviously 108-93, the final score. Mavs took advantage of the Lakers, and the Lakers now got some games coming up here where they're going to have to continue to try and figure things out. Two more games left on the road before they come back to Staples Center. Let's do this when we come back. When we come back, we'll get a chance to hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. I'm sure there's a lot of Laker fans that want to hear from Coach. I'll read off some of your tweets. You can hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. We'll take more of your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's J.J. Redick dribbling. Right side to Tim Hardaway, guarded by Kuzma. Hardaway head down, got to the rim. Look at Andre Drummond come over there, block the shot, and then retrieve the ball. Excellent defensive play by Drummond. Here's Alex Caruso, gives it to Drummond. Drives towards the basket. Jump hook by Drummond, good. Andre Drummond doing it on both ends. Gives the Lakers their biggest lead of the game, 8 points.
Lakers lose to the Dallas Mavericks, 108-93, the final score. The defensive play of the game brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit SaveWithAdrianas.com today. Adriana's Insurance, more options, no contracts, just savings from a defensive perspective for the Lakers. They did end up with 11 steals. Obviously, that's a positive stat, but most of those steals coming in that first half for the Lakers. All right, let's take a listen to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, get his thoughts. Lakers lose 2 in a row to the Dallas Mavericks. Tonight they lose by 15, 33-25 on the season.
Frank, what did you see in the second half, especially on the offensive end?
Yeah, just too perimeter oriented. You know, we didn't attack the rim, put enough pressure on the rim enough throughout the half. That's what we were talking about in our timeouts. And, you know, they make it difficult. They put 5 in the paint. Try to take that away, make you beat them over the top. And we got some clean looks out there, but just shot the ball horrifically, 0 for 10 in the fourth quarter and 4 for 24 overall. And, you know, you have to take what the defense gives you, but, you know, we didn't put enough pressure on the rim.
Frick, what's the balance with getting AD back and integrated and, you know, trying to get him a lot of shots and then having it be within the flow of the offense with continuity? How do you guys deal with that challenge, and how do you think that played out tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be a work in progress. You know, he's playing with a new teammate and, you know, trying to get his legs under him, you know, so, you know, it's going to be a little disjointed at times. Hopefully it doesn't cost us, you know, too many games. You know, I think there were some good sequences tonight, but obviously not good enough overall.
And you hit on this before the game, but it's that same question with continuity, Frank, versus trying to get guys, just keep them on the court, get some reps before the postseason comes. How do you kind of walk that line now as you move forward for the final 12 games?
Yeah, I mean, we're competing to win. You know, we believe in all of our guys, and you know, there is a theme to make sure all of our guys are staying sharp and in rhythm, you know, as we get into the playoffs and while we're competing to win games. You know, we need to win this game tonight. We fell short.
Okay, Kyle Goon, please.
Hey, Frank, in the second half, you know, it seemed like Dwight Powell really came alive. Was there some sort of flaw in the defense that kind of allowed him to get to the rim so much, or was it just sort of how you guys were guarding Luka?
Yeah, it was how we were guarding Luka. You know, we double teamed him the whole night. We had the mindset to, you know, make other guys beat us. And, you know, we have coverages in place, but we were late, not tough enough with those rotations. And Powell had a great night.
Okay, Dave McMenamin, please.
Frank, AD goes 5 for 19, but he plays 12 more minutes tonight. Outside of just the numbers of the shooting, obviously those aren't what we're used to seeing from him. Were there things that you liked, and what do you think would be the next step as you continue this road trip for him?
Yeah, he's got to use these games to play his way into shape. You know, I thought he played well, didn't shoot well, but, you know, that's going to come. You know, that's to be expected, to have a little rust in your first few games back. You know, this is just the situation that we're in right now.
Can you expand on the 28 minutes? Could that continue to increase, saying if he doesn't experience soreness, is that the plan?
Yeah, we're hopeful. You know, we'll see how he responds overnight. And, you know, the medical team gives me the recommendation. You know, they're counting not just total minutes, but how many stoppages there are while he's in there. So there is some flexibility there, and, you know, hopefully that continues to go up.
Okay, Bill Orme, please.
Hey, Frank. Should Trez's DNP be seen as a sign of things to come or a new reality for him, or was that more matchup specific or something specific to tonight?
Keeping all three centers sharp. You got two a back-to-back situation with Dallas, and, you know, giving each guy a look and see how those guys look in this matchup. But like I said, we believe in all three centers, and we need to keep all three centers sharp. That's all.
Okay, Dan Wilkie, please.
Frank, was that something where you knew going into the game that you know, this was going to be a night so you could talk to Montrez, and did that conversation go over okay?
Yeah, he was great. He was the big picture and what we're trying to get accomplished, and you know, he was great with it. He understood.
Okay, we'll just do a few more here, Frank. Yovan, please.
Hey, Frank. Ben had 20 points tonight, 6 threes and 4 in the first quarter. But what kind of boost did he give you guys early on, and what did you just see of him stepping in as a starter?
Yeah, I filled in for KCP admirably, competing on both sides of the ball. And, you know, when a guy's shooting the ball that well from the perimeter, it you know, should open things up. You know, didn't enough for us. Obviously, we didn't get to the basket enough in the second half, but definitely Ben gave us a good lift, especially at the start of the game.
Okay, Davide, please.
Hey, Coach, I'm curious about the Davis-Drummond pairing. Obviously, it's just second game for them together, but what are you seeing from them? Are you satisfied?
Yeah, we have great size, and, you know, should be able to protect the paint, have great perimeter versatility defensively. And, you know, when AD gets his legs under him, we think that's going to be a dynamic duo.
Okay, and last question, Corey Harrison, please.
Hey, Coach.
Hi, Corey.
So what was the breakdown when the guys would trap Luka, but he picked the team apart with his passing and getting others involved and things like that? What was the breakdown with that?
Yeah, we just were late with the rotations. They did some creative things with, you know, cutting and spacing. And, you know, when we did make the rotation, we didn't make the stop. You know, I mean, it's one thing to be there, and you got to make a play when you're there. And as you saw with Powell, going 11 for 12, we didn't do a good enough job when we rotated of getting stops in those situations.
All right, Lakers lose to the Dallas Mavericks. That's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, 108-93, the final score. A couple things from Coach. Thoughts about how the Lakers, too much on the perimeter. I think they were 4 of 23 from 3 in the second half, if I'm correct here. That's exactly what Coach said there. And I want to say John kept mentioning that into the broadcast as well. So the Lakers obviously could not find a way. Thought it was interesting. No Montrezl Harrell tonight. You know, I've said this all along, and by the way, if you guys want to comment on this, how some of that center rotation is, and no Montrezl tonight, 877-710-ESPN. I've said this the entire time that the Lakers are so deep, no one should be guaranteed play or guaranteed minutes or closing out games other than LeBron and Anthony Davis. So, you know, finding out, okay, well, why tonight no Montrezl Harrell? I thought Coach, you know, his explanation there is you're trying to see what works, what doesn't work. And I think there are times that, you know, obviously Montrezl Harrell, who, by the way, in the month of April has been very quiet compared to how loud he was in March and how effective he was in March. I think Coach trying to obviously figure out, okay, is there something I could find here using Marc Gasol? The reality is none of that impacted the game as far as Marc Gasol goes. Did have 7 rebounds, played 18 minutes for the Lakers, didn't even take a shot. I think he took 2 free throws, so it's not like there was a big impact there. We come back. Let's hear from Marc Gasol. And also, I got some tweets that I want to read here. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. Pizza at Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
108-93, the final score. Lakers lose to the Dallas Mavericks. Taking a quick look at the standings here. Lakers now 2.5 games, or game and a half, in front of the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas does have the tiebreaker now, 2-1. The series, 2-1. Dallas has obviously beat the Lakers 2 out of 3 games they've played this year. Portland now 2.5 games behind the Lakers. Portland sitting in that play-in tournament now at number 7. We'll see how things pan out, but obviously this is becoming more and more realistic that, okay, they're in a spot where they're going to have to fight off being in that play-in tournament. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory-direct, high-quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956, Vista Paint, 44-34. Mavs win by 10 points in the paint. They win the game by 15. I want to read off a couple tweets here because I think somebody makes an interesting point here. So on Twitter, T-Money says, Sliwa keeps talking about playing the play-in tournament. What about having to face Clippers in first round? Not ideal first round matchup. I'll tell you what he's referring to there. So a lot of the times right now, we're just kind of looking at the standings and we see that, all right, Denver now has got a 3.5 game cushion on the Lakers. They're going to try to hold on to that number 4 spot even without Jamal Murray. What T-Money on Twitter is talking about is the Lakers having to potentially play the Clippers in round 1 of the playoffs. Lakers-Clippers never faced each other. Clippers playing some of the best basketball in the NBA right now. Also, the best record in the NBA since the All-Star break. So Lakers-Clippers in the first round. It's a fair point. I will say this. No matter what for the Lakers, unless you're in that 4 or 5 slot where if you played Denver as an example, or if Dallas moved up, or if Portland moved up, unless you're in that spot, that technically is going to be a reasonable first-round matchup. If it's not one of those three teams, and let's say you end up in the 6th spot or you end up in the 7th spot, you're going to end up with the Clippers, the Suns, or the Jazz. Not ideal for a first-round matchup. But I will say, you know, in regards to the Clippers, so many question marks around every team, I think, in the Western Conference. Some teams have had a really good regular season record, but they have not proved themselves in the playoffs, Clippers being one of those teams. Utah, fantastic regular season. Have we seen Utah go on a deep run? Same thing with the Phoenix Suns. Is there a ton of experience after Chris Paul there? And even Chris Paul's experience, not like he's been to the finals two or three times or anything along those lines. I say that because every team's going to have its flaws. The one thing you could say about the Lakers is they did it last year. They won a championship last year. A lot of these guys that are on the roster have kind of gone through that grind. I don't need to sit here and tell you LeBron's resume. The whole conversation of just be healthy for the postseason and move on, you'll have to take your chances. If it's the Clippers in the first round, then it's the Clippers in the first round. By the way, Clippers could maybe make a move and pass the Phoenix Suns. They're only two games behind the Phoenix Suns. So you just never know how the standings are going to play out. But I agree that it's not an ideal situation. All right, Marc Gasol, let's get his thoughts on this Lakers loss to the Dallas Mavericks. Here's Gasol.
Hey, Mark, just wanted to see what you thought the differences were between the first half and the second half and the way you guys executed on both ends.
First half, I think that, we were attacking after getting stops. Second half, we didn't get as many stops. So, when you take the ball to the net, it allows their defense to get set a little better. You have to execute your actions and be a little more physical to fight for those spots. We didn't get to the paint at all. In the second half, we didn't make their defense collapse and overhelp, and the ball didn't move as well because of that. They did a good job. They did a good job adjusting, daring us to shoot on those pick and rolls, and we got to do a better job of screening and making those guards, get to the paint and as bigs rolling, creating second side help.
Frank said that he wants to make sure to be able to use all three centers, so Drummond and Harrell and yourself. And tonight, obviously, you played. Montrez didn't. Mark, how has that been communicated, and how do you think you guys just play through that and find a rhythm?
It's not an ideal situation for anybody. I'm sure that I've just been in that situation and not played for a few games, and nobody likes that. But it's whatever the coach wants us to do, and we're going to try to execute and do the best possible and stay ready and work, the days that you don't have a game or you don't not plan to play. But it's not ideal. As players, you always like to know, the consistency of when you're going to play, how you're going to play. It's a very deep team, and if coach wants to play three guys or two guys for one spot, it's gonna take a lot of buying in.
Okay, Calgoon, please.
Hey, Mark. Sort of touching on that. How much advance notice do you have when you're gonna play in a game? Like, did you go into the series knowing you might play in the second game? And do you get the sense that your appearances will be matchup based, or just every couple games, or do you know?
You guys asking the wrong guy. It's coach's decision, it's coach's call. He can tell you right before the game, like it happened. You never know. You as a player, you try to stay ready all the time. Kind of do the same things that you do and prepare yourself if you're going to play a lot. But sometimes it doesn't go that way. So don't ask me. I just work here.
Okay. Dan Wecky, please.
Mark, when you guys double team Luka like that, what has to happen with the other three guys on the court to stop him from being able to get the ball to the center the way that he was able to do in the second half? It seemed like you guys had success with it in the first.
Yeah. Well, it's all part of starts where you pick him up. As he comes off, normally they were using the double drag to keep one guy high and creating fewer guys on the tack and kind of open up the corner or the back cut and forcing you to commit to that. So he was doing that in the second half a little bit lower and creating more space from his man. At that point, our blitz, our show, our trap, he has a little more space to reach you. He's just stretching out and going pretty much to the 45 angle. And at that point, he just, you know, kind of reads and waits to see what's open. You know, he's a really good player. Here in the NBA, there's more space than in Europe. So he's seen that before, obviously. He's going to see it a lot more. But in Europe, everything is tighter and hard to see. I mean, he mentioned it after the game that, you know, here in the NBA, there's so much space that, you know, those angles are easier for him to read just because the spacing and where everybody's at.
Okay, I want to take a couple questions here, Mark. David Medica, please.
Mark, since the Boston game, what type of treatment, if any, have you gotten on that left finger or that hand, that finger on your left hand?
There's not much to do. I think popped out and it has a small little crack in it. It takes a minute to get going, but it's okay. It is what it is, and. And I'm just happy that you know, the coach tried me to play. And I was able, like, once you get a couple, you know, catches and you feel like the blood flow gets going on the finger and the adrenaline gets going too, it's a lot better. The treatment, it's what it is. You do ultrasound, you try to do, you know, all the passive stuff, trying to get him to move a little bit. But it's not much that, you know, there's no magic pill to that one.
All right, that's Marc Gasol right there. Lakers lose to the Dallas Mavericks, 108-93, the final score. When we come back, a few other tweets that I want to read, and I'll grab a couple phone calls as well, 877-710-ESPN, plus Kyle Kuzma. Stay right here. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's take a couple calls here. 108-93, Lakers lose to the Mavs. Sam and La Puente. Sam, appreciate you calling in. What did you think of tonight's game?
What's going on, Alan?
Thank you for calling in, bud. What's going on?
All right. I watched the game, and my question for you is, do you think Andre Drummond, I saw him his 6 points. Do you think he'll be able to bring up the intensity for the playoffs? Because he's never been there, like, on a good team, so.
Well, listen, Sam, it's a fair question. I appreciate you calling in. I got zero concern about Andre Drummond. I really do. And when LeBron comes back, you should hear Michael Thompson when he tries describing what it's going to be like when it's LeBron, Anthony Davis, Andre Drummond, all the options that LBJ has to kind of orchestrate things. I don't have any concerns. But I see what you're saying. All right, Andre Drummond hasn't been a long playoff run. Montrezl Harrell, remember last season, Clippers didn't get past the second round. He hasn't been in a long championship run. There's some players, Dennis Schroeder, players that we're going to have to watch come postseason that will have to prove themselves a little bit. But ultimately, no, I'm not worried about Andre Drummond. And listen, for the Lakers, at the end of the day, the world obviously not going to end. You lose 3 games in a row, but you really wanted this one. In my opinion, I thought this was a key game for the Lakers. It didn't happen. Let's get Kyle Kuzma's thoughts. So Kuzma, 5 of 11 from the field tonight, 4 of 9 from the three-point line. Ended up with 14 points, but obviously the Lakers don't end up with a win. Here's Kuz.
Hey, Kuz, just wanted to see what stuck out to you the most as you guys try and integrate AD into the starting lineup and, you know, if it affects the way that you play offense, defense, with Drummond, all that. Like, what's your summary so far?
Just another adjustment that we have to make, this season. Just another one, really. Playing with him is much different than not having him on the court. You know, something that, you know, we got to figure out offensively. Defensively, I think we'll be fine. You know, AD is such a great communicator and, you know, cleans up a lot of things on that end. But, you know, offensively, we got to figure some more things out. You know, we only scored 92 points with him in the lineup, and, you know, that can never happen. So, you know, that's just the biggest thing right now for us, you know, just adjusting to playing with him once again.
In the second half, did you notice anything, Kuz, during those lulls offensively about why you guys were struggling to score in spots?
I think one collectively for a little junctions of the game. You know, we just didn't hit shots. I think we got the shots that we wanted, and you know, some of them went in and out. Some of them just didn't go in. And you know, this league is a mission make league at the end of the day. But you know, I think our problems were more so, you know, from a defensive standpoint.
Oh, sorry, Kyle. We'll go with Kyle Gu next, please.
Hey, Kuz. You know, obviously, even though AD was a little rusty in shooting the ball, he was taking shots at the end of the game, and he's been talking to us about how a lot of you guys have encouraged him to shoot in his minutes, which are obviously limited still. Is it, on one hand, more important to get him sort of those clutch reps and at least get a rhythm for shooting the ball than maybe the result of one night's game?
I think we just got to get him up to speed in a hole. I think he's been out for, you know, two months. So I think that, you know, obviously there's going to be some rust and, you know, there's going to be some, you know, with us all patience and, you know, at the end of the day, it's Anthony Davis, you know, he'll find his rhythm, you know, sooner than later. And, you know, I think that tonight he looked a little bit more like himself. But still, you know, still there's rust. You know, anytime you don't play, and this is the first time he's getting action, you know, 5-on-5 or just, you know, really contact in those type amount of months. So, yeah, you know, we'll be all right, though.
Okay, Dan Wyke, please.
Who's does seeding matter to this team? Is that something that is on your radar? Obviously, these two losses, Dallas is now a game and a half back. Is that something you guys are concerned about at all?
No, I think seeding is you know, matters for a lot of other teams in the league. I don't think it matters too much for us. You know, obviously we're you know, declining. You know, and you know, we got to just figure it out. You know, obviously we're getting Parks back with, I don't know how many games we got, 11, 12 games left. But, you know, we just got to keep pushing, keep figuring it out, you know, get 80's legs under them, and, you know, get wins. So.
Sorry to follow up on that really quickly. Is the confidence just from what you guys went through last year and sort of the idea that, you know, you are getting these two big pieces back and that was such a big part of the reason for the last month? Is that why seeding doesn't matter?
I mean, of course. I mean, we haven't had our two best players in, you know, two players that, you know, this team is built around. So, you know, when you add those guys to the mix and, you know, we can all, you know, go back to our, you know, program role, you know, I think we'll be all right. You know, as you see in the first half of the season, you know, what we did to teams, and you know, we'll get back there. We just gotta get healthy. That's the most important thing.
All right, we have time for one more. We'll go with you, please.
Because you guys addressed the depth of your team in the offseason, you know, brought in some new pieces because the bench numbers weren't all that great last year, and with that, at one point, you know, Talon took West minutes, and at one point Andre took Mark's minutes. Mark took Trez's minutes. How much is that on the individual player to kind of accept that and stay within the group? And how much does a group have to kind of like wrap their arms like around a guy like Trez tonight and, you know, keep him, you know, connected, even though they're not getting minutes?
I mean, it sucks at the end of the day. You know, we're all competitors and we all want to be out on the court for 48 minutes. You know, that's just how you are. If you are a competitor, and if you don't want to, then you know, I would never want a player on my team like that. So I think that, you know, it's all about sacrifice. You know, that's something that I really learned about last year. I think something that I struggled with last year and, you know, was hard on myself and down, you know, a little bit, but I had great teammates that, you know, stuck with me and, you know, I figured it out. So, you know, now's not the time to, you know, be harping on yourself, and you know, if you don't play, you don't play. Just cheer on your teammate. We're trying to win championships right now, and that's the window that we're in, and it's at all costs. You know, if you don't play, then you don't play.
Kuz has been over the course of the last year has been so great to listen to in these postgame interviews. Kind of tells it how it is. You know, he mentioned something that seating doesn't matter for us. By the way, there's some Laker fans would disagree and say, no, you got to have the proper seating here. You got to avoid this team, that team. The reality is, I love his honesty. He even says there towards the end, and he's repeated this so much, and that's why when there's criticism towards Kuzma, usually what I end up saying is, okay, well, is Kuzma being a bad teammate? Is he taking bad shots? Is he worried about his own individual stats, individual numbers? He hasn't been. So the dude has obviously taken a back seat when it comes to just being a role player and understanding they're trying to get a chance. They're trying, obviously, an opportunity to win their second championship in a row. Lakers lose to the Mavs, 108-93. A couple quick plugs here. First of all, thank you to Rebecca Womble, Laura Roma Lopez, Jesse Lopez, and Carlos Saisu. Handled our social media today. Lakers' next broadcast coming up is going to be this Monday. So 2:30 is the pregame show. Tip-off is at 4 o'clock. Overall, I'll just say this with the Lakers. They got some very winnable games the rest of the way. By the way, only 12 games left. I heard John Ireland saying that he's heard that LeBron could be a couple weeks away. Not much time left. I mean, here's the reality. You have about 3 weeks left in the regular season, right around there. The final game of the regular season is going to be May 16th. We're sitting on April 24th right now, so you could say about 3 weeks left. Orlando, Washington, Sacramento, Toronto, that's your next four games for the Lakers, so they certainly got a chance to do some damage. Next game coming up this Monday. As always, we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in, whether it's on the ESPN app, iTunes, 710 AM, or all our social platforms. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.